We are continuing the study of the rapture. This is a part two. I'm going to give you 12 reasons for the rapture, but in a particular theology, pre-tribulation theology. Last Sunday, we studied the rapture in depth. And as we learned that rapture refers to that time when Jesus is going to come without warning, okay? Note that, please, without warning, and to take away his born-again Christians from this earth. That means if there is a husband and wife, and one of them is born again, the other one is not born again, guess what? When the rapture happens, that spouse who is born again will be taken away, and the other will be left behind. And the person can be sitting in front of each other in the coffee shop and talking. All of a sudden, one will be gone and the other will be remain. And the world will just go bonk and wondering what happened. After the rapture, the Lord will pour out his holy and righteous wrath upon this sinful believing world. And you may say, well, the loving God will not punish people. Because he is a loving and righteous, holy God, he will punish this fallen world. And that is a time we know as the Great Tribulation. There are many pastors, listen carefully please, there are many pastors who choose not to acknowledge the rapture. Or say that they are not certain whether it will precede the tribulation. In other words, it will happen before the tribulation. I believe that your view of the rapture will have a significant impact on the proper understanding of this grandiose book known as the Revelation. This is one of the doctrines. This is one of the doctrines that Calvary Chapel stands firmly. Because we don't want any confusion in understanding in God's Word, especially for the end time prophecy. I'm not saying that those who believe differently than we are not, they are not Christian, or they will not go to heaven. They will go to heaven. My close friend, you guys know, remember him, Pastor Al Edelman. He was pretty much subscribing the post-tribulation theology. I made it clear to him when he joined our church as a worship leader, I said, do not say anything about you regarding your post-tribulation theology. And he agreed. He said, I come under your authority. So in our church, the teaching pastor or anyone who teach in the Sunday school, they will not teach anything other than pre-tribulation theology. Are you with me on that? I'm not saying, hear me well, I'm not saying they are not a Christian. They just have a different theology. And you tell me, after we study this, you tell me whether that the post-tribulation is right or wrong. Let's stop and pray. Father, there's many voices in the world and talking about rapture is not existing because it's not mentioned in the Bible. Or those who flat out ignore everything about Jesus Christ. And there are people amongst Christians who believing in the different ways. Father, we do not want confusion. We want what you want us to know. Father, teach us. Teach us that when you are going to come, whether it's before tribulation or after tribulation, Father, give us a clear understanding, not man's opinion. It's not to insist that what we believe is right, everybody else is wrong. This is about knowing you, knowing your way properly. Father, we are asking your anointing upon our heart that we may understand your truth and upon the one who speaks, that he may only speak your word. Father, we pray for the Biden administration. Father, we pray that they may come to know Christ. Many of them are not born again Christians. Father, whatever it takes for them to come to know Christ. And Father, we also pray for our law enforcement personnel and firefighters and our soldiers, especially the one in the harm's way. We are asking you to protect them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First, we got to take a look at the reason for the controversy. Generally, there are four different concepts of the time of the rapture. Those who believe the rapture will happen before the tribulation are known as a pre-tribulation believers. And those who believe that the rapture will happen sometime in the middle of the tribulation are known as a mid-tribulation believers. In most cases, they tend to believe that rapture will happen right smack dab in the middle of the tribulation, between the first and second half of the tribulation. And the third camp are the ones who believe that the rapture will happen after the tribulation. It's known as post-tribulation. And their fourth group, they said, well, it will happen sometime during the tribulation. It will pan out. So we call them pan-tribulation believers. Why does the debate continue concerning the time of this event? I believe that due to the misunderstanding of the two cases, two areas. First one is the elect. The elect. Keep your finger in Revelation. And, okay, everybody go like this. Come on, don't be shy. And move your finger. You know what that means? We're going to do a lot of finger walking, right? All right, starting at the Matthew chapter 24. And I know some of you are thinking, you are so weird. As long as you get the word, I don't care. Chapter 24, 21. For then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever shall be. Except that those days that should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, note that word, the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Based on this verse, people will say, aha, see, here is the elect, there are the elect in the tribulation. However, they are failing to see this term tribulation can refer to the three different groups. First group is a Christian, as mentioned in Colossians 3:12. I want you to look at it when you go home. And Israel in general, Isaiah 45:4. And those who will be saved during the tribulation time. Are you with me on that? Christian, Israel, and those who saved during the tribulation time. So which of the elect does Jesus refer in chapter 24 of the Matthew verse 21? I believe that to answer this, we have to keep this in context. Are you with me on that? You cannot interpret the Bible without keeping in context. If you take it off the context, it becomes a pretext. You can make your own theology, wrong theology, very much. That's how the cult start. Many cults start by using Bible out of context. Verse 20, please. It reads, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the what? Who recognize Sabbath? Gentiles? Only Jews, right? Even to this day, transportation in Israel. I remember when we were in Israel on Sunday, there was no public transportation. This doesn't work with the, you know, hitchhiking out there. Since the Sabbath means nothing to the Gentile nation, the application of Matthew chapter 24, verse 21 to 22 is for who? Israel. I had occasion talk with someone who was a staunch believer of the mid-tribulation, but close to the post-tribulation. He had a good argument for how we can draw a parallel between the Matthew 24 and Revelation 6. So he firmly argued with me that the church would go through a tribulation. The one very important thing he did not include in his equation was that the elect mentioned in chapter 24 of Matthew is now referring to the Christian, rather referring to who? Israel. You don't, another thing, I mentioned this, but I'll say it again. you don't find anywhere from the Revelation chapter 6 through 19, that's the tribulation period in the book of Revelation, referring to church. Not a word. The word church is not mentioned anywhere. Some people also argue that those who get saved during the tribulation are church. No, they are not. Though they are born-again Christians, they are not referred as the church. They are the ones who get to heaven after they get killed by the Antichrist. I met another gentleman who said, well, between the book of Acts and Jude, and he said all the epistles written in the New Testament, the church was not mentioned. I looked at him. I didn't want to argue with him, so I just let it go. Do you know, between the book of Acts all the way to the book of Jude, the one before Revelation, it mentions 68 times. The church, the word church was mentioned 68 times. However, it goes, church was mentioned in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 of the book of Revelation from chapter 6. What about the, you're thinking, what about 4 and 5? It's in heaven. There's no reason for the church to be mentioned in heaven, right? From chapter 6, chapter 19, there's not a one single word of word of church mentioned. Why? Because church is not on the earth. Are you with me on that? Second reason why there's a confusion is a trumpet. First Corinthians chapter 15, please. I told you we're going to flip pages. Chapter 15, verse 52. 15, 52. Our memory verse. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that's not squinting your eyes, it's light reflecting on your eyes. At the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Based on this, people said, see, here is the, according to Revelation chapter 11, the seventh and the last trumpet signaling the rapture. Wrong. If you read that portion carefully, that trumpet sound was made by who? Angel. Not God. In chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians and the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, is a trumpet call was done by God. Are you with me on that? Each trumpet of the Revelation 8 through 11 is a sound by the angel, whereas 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, make it clear that trumpet is sounded by God. Verse 16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and then here it is, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Am I making sense? Is there any doubt? Yes, no? Okay. Let's take a look at 12 reasons for the pre-tribulation theology. First one is the rapture doctrine is to be a comforting one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. Therefore, next word, comfort one another with this word. Verse 16 and 17 talked about the rapture and the reason for it, comforting one another. The belief that the rapture happens after or in the middle of the tribulation is anything but comforting, isn't it? Going through a great tribulation is not a comforting, because it means believer must endure unbelievable agony before they were taken to heaven. Second reason for the pre-tribulation is the tribulation is outpouring of wrath of the Lamb. Verse 19 of the same portion. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. Chapter 5, verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He did not appoint us to wrath. This is not the trials and tests. God had not appointed us to wrath, and the wrath that should have been hurled at you and me and pour out on us, absorbed by our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of the Calvary. You agree? Amen? Are you guys awake? Okay, stay with me. Third reason for the pre-tribulation. Pre-tribulation rapture is illustrated in Genesis 19, where we see the angels delivering Lot and his family before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. How do we know this is the picture of rapture? Because in the reference, Peter wrote about it. Would you go to 2 Peter chapter 2, please? Way in the back of the Bible, right before the 1 John. I know some of you are thinking, I thought we came to church, not school. This is how you learn the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Chapter 2, verse 9 says, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and reserved the unjust on the punishment for the day of what? Judgment. All right, fourth reason for the pre-tribulation is that when the great tribulation occurs on earth, I expected to be in heaven standing with the Son of God, before the Son of God, and singing the worthy of the Lamb. Where do I find it? I'm glad you asked. Revelation chapter 5, please. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Here's the believers in heaven. And they, believers in heaven, sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. I want you to know, underline, circle, highlight that one particular word. Redeem. What's the next word? Us. Not them. Us. Redeem us to God by your blood out of every tribe and the tongue and the people and nation, have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Okay. Only the church can sing the song of redemption. Those who are born-again Christians in you, not with us, many of you are born-again Christian, you are redeemed by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you with me on that? We are the one who can sing this song. This is a song of redemption. No one else other than his church. We find that church is singing the song of redemption occurred in Revelation chapter 5 before the opening of a scroll in chapter 6, which shows the start of a great tribulation on earth, on the earth. Fifth reason for the great pre-tribulation. It simply is not consistent with the nature of God to judge the righteous with the wicked. Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1. Am I going too fast? Little? Try to keep up with me. If I slow down, we're going to leave here at around 4 o'clock. Okay, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath of God will not be open to the believers. We, the church, are not appointed unto wrath during the great tribulation. Sixth reason for the pre-tribulation is Jesus told us to pray that we would be raptured before the tribulation. Luke chapter 21, please. Luke chapter 21. Some of you are thinking, I cannot take a note fast enough. You guys received the email, right? If you haven't received my email, you might want to check your junk folder. And in your junk, in my email, there's a PDF file, the sermon note that I use, like this. It's a full-blown sermon note. You can use it. Luke 21:36 says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to what? Escape. All these things that will come to pass to stand before the Son of Man. And where? In heaven. Exactly. So how are we counted worthy? There's only one way. We are worthy because of what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. Listen. Hey, everybody, pay attention, please. You don't go to heaven because you are religious. Are you with me on that? You don't go to heaven because you went to church, or because you've been baptized, or you've been taking a communion, or whatever the excuse is. If you never received Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord, as your Savior and Lord, if you've never done that, you do not go to heaven. I don't care how good you are. Somebody said so wisely, Gandhi, he's a good guy, right? He's the goodest person in hell. Am I making sense? Goodness of man doesn't mean anything. According to the book of Isaiah, it's like a filthy rag. Seventh reason for the pre-tribulation. Pre-tribulation rapture makes sense historically and scripturally. Chapter 14 of the book of John. So from the look, turn to right. Go to chapter 14, please. It's right before the famous verse 14:6. I am the way and the truth. Remember that? Okay, verse 2 said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Okay, guys, that is incorrect translation. The proper translation is many rooms. Don't think that, ooh, I'm going to have a mansion with all this marble floor. No, you got it wrong. I don't know whether we're going to have a marble floor or not, but it's not a mansion. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. According to the Jewish custom, when a man came to the age to marry, he would add a room in the father's house. That's a Jewish custom. For himself and the bride-to-be. Of course, the marriage is already arranged. When the addition was completed, and the father gave the son permission to go get the bride. And do you know what the father does? He blew the trumpet. And he blew the trumpet, and the bridegroom would go to meet his bride. And following the wedding, the ceremony, the bridegroom will take his bride to his father's house, where they would be tucked away for 7 days in newly completed the bridal suite. At the end of the 7 days, bridegroom would come out with his bride and introduce her to the community. And you're thinking, so let me explain. That's exactly what's going to happen with us. Jesus, our bridegroom, is preparing a place for us in heaven. And some of you are thinking, whoa, hold on, hold your horse on there, preacher. Are you telling me, macho guy, is going to be the bride of Jesus Christ? That ain't going to happen. Well, if you are a believer of Jesus Christ, guess what? We are bride of him. I know it might go against your macho grain, but accept it. The other option is hell. You can choose to be a bride of Jesus Christ, or you can go to hell. That's not much of a choice. So let me backtrack. We will go to the place in heaven and the mansion in his father's kingdom. At the appointed time, known only by the father, and trumpet will sound, and Jesus will meet us, his bride, in the air to escort us up to the bridal suite. And the bridal suite he has prepared for us. He will remain we will remain with him in heaven for how long? 7 years before we are presented to the world where we will rule and reign with him forever and ever. And you may think that, well, I'm not a politician or a king. I don't know if I can reign. God will take care of that. Don't worry about it. Eighth reason for the pre-tribulation. Pre-tribulation rapture keep us from knowing the date of the rapture. It's very important. Knowing the date of the rapture. Remember last week I said, according to the Bible, no one knows the date or the time. Am I correct? That means in Greek, no one knows. That means in English, no one knows. And that means in South Korean language, no one knows. That means in Southern Sweden language, no one knows. I don't know which part of the no one knows people don't get it. There's always a dimwit who come up, I know I have this special formula. I would like to tell them, go take a hike on I-19. It's such a stupid thing. God did not give him. He didn't see any, no, you don't see anywhere in the Bible, no one knows except whoever your name is. When Bible says no one knows, that means what? No one knows. If you believe the post-tribulation theology, it has a major flaw. Abomination of desolation, that is, this Antichrist will walk into the Jewish temple and Temple Mount and declare that he is God. Are you with me so far? And he will put the statue in there and tell everybody to worship me as God. That's known as an abomination of desolation. When that happened, the Bible says, as we will find out in the book of Revelation, 1260 days from that abomination of desolation, that day to the 1260 days, that is the second coming of Jesus Christ. If that's the case, if people say, those who believe in post-tribulation say, well, it's at the end of a tribulation, then soon as if we are here, we are unbelievers, and we see we are Jewish people, just pretend, okay? And we see the abomination of desolation happening in the Temple Mount. We can count 1260 days. And guess what? It's going to be whatever the date. Oh, that's the rapture date. Which part of people no one knows, don't understand. Everybody would know that Jesus will rapture his people then. Remember, no one knows. Okay? Ninth reason pre-tribulation rapture is pre-tribulation rapture allows the conditional aspect of the tribulation. Would you go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 22? Revelation 2, 22. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed. Those who commit adultery with her into what? Great tribulation, unless they repent of their deed. If the rapture won't occur until after the tribulation, what would be the reason for this warning of Jesus against the church of Thyatira? We studied this portion. The great tribulation mentioned here is megas thyslepsis in Greek. This is the exact same word used to describe the seven-year tribulation throughout the Revelation 6 through 19. And somebody would say, well, didn't Jesus say that in this world we will have a tribulation? Yes, he did. But that kind of tribulation should be translated as a trial. The believers go through in the world, what believers go through in the world is the trial is caused by Satan. But the tribulations, the great tribulation mentioned in the chapters 6 through 19, on the other hand, is from God as he pour out his wrath to the Christ-rejecting world. Are you following me on that? Folks, God will not allow us to get hit from the both sides, going through the tribulation and that agony, and then God pour out his wrath on us. No, he wouldn't do that. All right, 10th reason for the pre-tribulation rapture, square with prophecy of Daniel. According to the Daniel's prophecy in chapter 9, 3.5 biblical years. Why do I say 3.5 biblical years? Each year, this is 360 days a year, not 365 or 366 days a year. From the day of Antichrist entering into the temple, demand worship midway through the tribulation, which we also know as abomination of desolation, the Lord will return. That is the second coming of Jesus Christ with his people from the heaven to claim the earth. If the post-tribulation rapture is correct, what would be the purpose of the rapture right before the second coming of Jesus Christ? There's no reason for God to take the people out of this world and then come down again. Okay, guys, come on up and look around. Okay, there's a throne room. There is a river of the living water. Okay, everybody go down. Really, what's this? A bungee jumping? All right, chapter, the 11th reason. Tribulation is unnecessary for the church. Romans chapter 11. I know I'm unloading the boat amount of information on you guys this morning. Go home, open up your email, open up the sermon note, and go through again. Verse 25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Are you there yet? Lest you should be wise in your own opinion that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentile has come in. This is the time. This is the fullness of the Gentile. So all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of the Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Who is Jacob? Israel, exactly. Referred to as the time of Jacob's trouble. The tribulation targets Israel, for through it, and she will be awakened when Antichrist declared himself as a God on the day of abomination of desolation. That's the time when the entire Israelis will say, oh, we've been had. And they're awakened. Wow, Jesus Christ already came. The promise God made to Abraham, the Jewish people, have not been forgotten in Deuteronomy 4:29-30. And God will work with Israel in the days of tribulation. He will make himself known to them, and they shall indeed be saved. So go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, please. Way in the front, right after the book of Numbers, right before Joshua. Chapter 4, verse 29. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice. Last reason for the pre-tribulation. Pre-tribulation illustrated in Enoch, who was taken to heaven before the flood. Go to Genesis chapter 5, please. Genesis chapter 5. It says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I don't know how long they walked together with God, side by side. And probably God said, you know what, Enoch, my place is closer than your place, so why don't you just stay? I don't know if that's what he said. A lot of imagination, right? Someone would have said, wrong theology. It's not Enoch, it's a Noah. Because God sealed him inside the ark and preserved him. Okay? But Noah is not the picture of a church, but Israel. God protected and sheltered Noah as his judgment flood was unleashed. Noah was sealed by God and safely taken through flood, just as 144,000 Jewish male in Revelation chapter 7. But Enoch was taken up to heaven before the flood, and church will be taken before the tribulation. Am I making sense so far? So what should we do now? As I said before, whether you believe pre-tribulation or post-tribulation or not, it does not affect if you are born-again Christian, you will go to heaven. If you are not a born-again Christian, guess what? You will be left behind. If you are not a born-again Christian and the rapture happened before this service is over, you will sit here alone. This is not a threat. This is promise of God. you can ignore however you want to ignore. Remember the video we saw last Sunday? That would scare the snot out of a lot of people, wouldn't it? Why do we insist in Calvary Chapel, why do we insist pre-tribulation? Because your viewpoint regarding the rapture would make the end time theology that is known as the eschatology will be changed quite a bit. I'm going to tell you a true story. And now everybody's awake. It's a story time. Yeah. On Saturday, August 8, 1914, Sir Ernest Shackleton, that's the guy, and the 28 British men set sail in the three-masted wooden ship from Plymouth, England, to Antarctica on a quest to become the first adventurers to cross the Antarctic continent on foot. In January 1915, a few months later, the ship became entrapped in the ice pack and it ultimately sank, leaving men to set up the camp on the ice floor. It's a thin, flat, free-floating slice of the sea ice. Shackleton kept the men busy by day and entertained by night. They play ice soccer. I don't know if they kicked the ice back around. That would hurt their feet, don't you think? And had a nightly song fest. And had a regular sled dog competition. He willingly sacrificed his right to a warmer four-lined sleeping bag so that one of the men might have it. And he personally served hot milk to his men and in their tent every morning. What a guy. April 1916, they were there for over a year. Knowing that the rescue from such a desolated island was unlikely, Shackleton and five others left across 800-mile open sea in 220-foot lifeboat with more of hope than the promise of the return with the rescuers. Finally, on August 30th, after an incredible 105-day journey, Shackleton returned to rescue his stranded crew, becoming their hero. Listen, please. This is important. But perhaps the real hero of the story is not Shackleton. Rather, his second-in-command, Frank Wild. Wild was left in charge of the camp in Shackleton's absence. He maintained the routine the boss had established. He assigned the daily duties and served the meals and held the sing-alongs and planned athletic competition and generally kept up morale. Wild kept the last tin of kerosene and supply of the dry combustible ready to ignite instantly for the use to locate a signal. When the day of wonder would arrive. Barely 4 days' rations remained in the camp. When the Shackleton finally arrived in a Chilean icebreaker, he personally made several trips through the icy water in a small lifeboat in order to ferry his crew to safety only within an hour. Shackleton later learned from his men how they were prepared to break the camp so quickly and reported. From the night after I left, the second in command, Frank Wild, would roll up his sleeping bag each day with the remark, "Get your things ready, boys. The boss may come today." Sure enough, one day mist opened and revealed the ship, for which they had been waiting and longing and hoping for over 4 months, not to mention from January 1915. And when they were rescued, it was August 1916. They were there from 1 year, 7 months. While the cheerful anticipation proved infectious, and all were prepared when the evacuation day came. Listen, Shackleton's stranded crew desperately hoped that their leader would come back. They were longing for his return. As diligent and dedicated as Shackleton was, but he could not keep the promise because his return is completely dependent on the element of the weather, like a fog, mist, and cold weather. But he made it. However, unlike a desperate crew, we have a certain promise of God. The Lord will return. Ours is not a mere longing or desperate hope, as Deus was, but because our Lord is the creator of the universe and master of all, his promise is as sure as his very existence. Here is the last one. Folks, the rapture will happen, just as he promised in the Bible. So what should we do? Say that with me. Be ready. Be watchful. Be in prayer. Amen? Let's stand up and pray.